No.
All right, go ahead.
Yep.
All righty. So we're looking to transfer $6,140.66 from the fencing capital project to minor equipment and purchase 7 pistols along with sights in the amount of $6,282.60.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Questions?
Yeah, Sheriff. The funds here, is this because the you're done with the fencing?
Yes.
Okay.
So it will.
This is the remainder then?
Correct.
Yeah, it will effectively close the capital project by right. once mm-hmm. you adopt the resolution.
Okay. Yes.
I probably have asked you this before. What do you do with the old pistols?
We trade them in on the new ones.
So they you trade them in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you want one, Hilda?
Yeah, I'd love one. So I love guns.
Contact Amchar. That's who did it. You can worry. Buy it through them.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Eric.
Requesting to appropriate from the D fund to the capital project fund for Tropical Storm Fred damage, flood 821 account disaster response in the amount of $425,000. And then for Tropical Storm Debbie, flood 824 account disaster response in the amount of $175,000 for a total of $600,000.
Motion, Horton.
Second, Nichols.
Any questions?
Does this close those accounts? Is that what we're doing here?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Close the run down the monies in those accounts? Or?
Yeah, it will. We draw from it. It will. There's still money in there, depending on what we're isolating to, but yeah.
And then have we heard anything on any change in FEMA monies coming to us because of change in government?
No, so it's a good question, but no. So as it stands now, in 2021, we were 100% funded through FEMA for these projects. What has changed, and it was before the change in politics, is the reimbursement is 75% on this latest storm in 2024. So that's the only difference, but I don't believe it's related to what's going on.
We feel pretty confident on these funds.
Right. I only ask that because in some of the townships, there's concerns with the funding on FEMA side of things.
These should be okay.
My question, Eric, is how did we come out with, they finally got the budget together and passed it. So where are we on our CHIP money funding?
So we're in good shape. That's kind of draws me to what Gary brought up last meeting we had, trying to get us some monies to go ahead and move forward. So we weren't
but
waiting.
Now we got money approved.
It's passed. We're good. We feel from our counterparts in DOT shared that it'd probably be this week or next week we get our formal letter, but we did drop the grinder in. Yesterday was our first day with the grinder with the new drum on it and the new engine, and everything's going well. So that's good news.
So do you think our funding's going to be the same as last year?
It's a little bit more, actually. A little bit more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit more. Hmm. And then we had some rollover stuff because of some breakdowns in the flood. So,
yep.
Brad?
Yeah, does that include the pave the potholes and the...
Yes.
Stream winter or...
Yeah. Sure does.
Okay, good.
Wow.
All right, good. We have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Yeah, after the meeting, Gary mentioned to me, with CHIPs being in question based on the budget delays, we didn't want to be delayed in getting our project started. We had money that we could have said, just get them started, you know, on the bet that we're going to get the CHIPs money. But I'm glad to hear that it's coming through.
Yep. And I appreciate you guys offering that up last meeting as well, because that puts our mind at ease getting on the schedule, because the same guys do the same work for the townships and all of us. So
I'll get filled up.
It's imperative all the work we do to get ahead of it if we can.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kenny's, or no, Judy first.
Judy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Judy, before you, Kenny, don't get too anxious.
Oh, I'll make the motion to approve Judy.
Help her up there. Second.
Judy, I made the motion for you.
Okay.
Second.
Got a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Carried.
They're going to run me through the ringers. What's going to happen now?
Good morning.
Morning.
First one I have this morning is acceptance of the FY24 State Interoperable Communications Grant, an amount of $748,369. This is
motion.
The grant that we receive every
second.
Year. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Second one is acceptance of the FY24 Public Safety Answering Point Grant an amount of $175,667.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
All right. The third one is acceptance of the FY25 Next Generation Grant. This is a new grant in amount of $1,515,197. And this is designed to support the public safety answering point, the 911 centers, and their call taking equipment and interfaces. So that'll be used to beef that up and then also work with interoperability with other counties. So,
motion, Horton.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, you see how quick we can accept, what, $2.4 million?
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's good.
Now you got to spend.
Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah. Thankfully, the next one's only $5,280 for the installation of fiber to the Hammondsport ambulance.
I'll make the motion. But I do have a question.
For motion?
I'll make the motion.
Do made
second? Yeah. Okay.
I saw that map. So they're running fibers through that whole area.
So the map, is it just... you probably saw the that's map the, of the existing that's network.
That's the broadband project. Right.
Yeah.
So that's different. That's a different map.
This is just for installation in the
building. Yeah. So basically this is coming from the existing
library
fiber network.
So
by the library.
Yeah. Okay. We have our fiber backbone as part of the STN network that we have 12 strands on. It's at about the library. Now we need to run it over to the ambulance garage, and we do have the other note is your resolution, if you're okay with it, in your motion would have this funding coming from the fiber capital project. We have about $400,000 left in that capital project, so certainly enough to cover this.
Yeah, I just wanted clarity on
yeah that. So this is what they call a lateral, so they're just coming off the ring,
right?
Just yeah.
Okay,
any other questions? All in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Finance. Oh, Fred.
Yeah, just a quick question. We see all these grants coming through for emergency services.
Can you get closer to your microphone for us?
All right. We see all these grant monies coming through for emergency services. I wonder what percentage of emergency services costs is funded by grants.
So most of these, let me go back. Most of these are project related, so it would be the 748 and the 1.5 would all be project. So that's equipment, consultants, whatever it takes, labor. The 175 actually is the money. This was a grant from about 10 years ago, Kenny, something like that, that we have to show cost to apply for this fund. And so one of the eligible costs is staff. So we show our staffing cost, we submit that, and we are reimbursed on that. So the 175 is a reimbursement for essentially staff.
If you remember public safety last week, I did ask the question to Tim and Jack is with all the grants that we get,
yeah,
all the while for EMS and the 911 group, what happens if we don't get them anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
And it changes a lot.
You over years, you'd be spending millions because these projects aren't going to go away.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Stacy.
Good morning. Your April purchase orders and your April budget transfers and adjustment report have been submitted. Are there any questions?
I didn't have any.
I had none.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right.
Nope. Okay. And
you'll probably need to stand back up there.
Yeah, Stacy and Mitch, don't go too far. I'll share my screen talking the multi-year budget forecast that was sent to you. Zoom drives me nuts with this screen share stuff. Why isn't that working? It was? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Okay, stand by.
And it has the decoder ring that lets them do it, right?
Why is it not going? Okay. All right. So Mr. Van Etten asked us to put together a multi-year budget forecast. This was sent to you all. Really rough shot. I won't read it for you. You can see this does align well with the discussion on reserves, on fund balance, and will flow into some discussions hopefully next month, because you do have in July, I believe, Stacy and Mitch is when Bonadio presents, so you'll have the new numbers. But we did send you estimates of fund balance and those sort of things, which we can discuss also. You're in a financially healthy position, which is good, especially since if you take a look at these forecasts, and again, it's just based on things we know or guess at the moment. 3 years is about as aggressive as I think I would do, just with all the unknowns in Albany and yeah. The federal government. I mean, 3 months in this environment is tough to forecast. We do know, I'll just talk about the things that we feel comfortable about. Salaries and wages will go up by an average of 6%, absent any changes made by you, because those are tied to the union contracts that we have. We have one contract to negotiate this year, as you know, the corrections officers, but we anticipate similar numbers. Retirement, it really depends on how the market's doing. We've been here a number of years where you've seen single digit increases, so very low if the market's doing well. We've been here where we've seen double digit increases if the market is not doing very well. So it all depends. We estimated a 12% increase in 26, because the deputies are, it'll be the first budget year capturing the deputies in the new retirement plan, and then 10% after. Social Security, Medicare, you know, those are what they are. Medical insurance, we estimated 10%. We do have, you know, a good amount of fund balance in that. We are self-funded. And again, just like general liability insurance, this is something we have to take a look at. Because we're self-funded, we do have catastrophic claims coverage, but until someone hits $1 million, you know, we're really not, it's right out of pocket. We've had years, knock on wood, for the health of our employees and their spouses and kids. We have very few high cost claims at the moment. I believe two from the last report we got from Gallagher on Friday. And that's classified as any individual claimant with $50,000 in actual costs or more, or anticipated costs in a given plan year. We've had that list as high as 12 in the past. So it all depends on, you know, what's happening, but that is an exposure. The plan ran a few $1 million deficit budget to budget year because of high cost claimants in the past. We projected a 10% increase in that. Retiree insurance, similar. Fringe is rolled up. Workers' comp, again, healthy fund balance there. We projected that pretty to decrease again and then remain pretty flat because of the experience. I would say equipment is one of the levers that you have in bad budget years. So we just projected essentially a $4 million base with 2% escalation, but it all depends on what you need, what's happening. You have unassigned fund balance. And again, mm-hmm. We'll talk about, you know, the ability to use that to be able to draw that down. But if we hit a rough budget year, as many of you have been in this room for bad budget years, we can defer purchases in some cases. Now, is that a great idea? Not necessarily, but you have the ability. That's one of the levers that you have. The rest, we basically just estimated. A lot of it depends on, you know, the kind of revenue that we get when you look at your road projects and those things. When we get into revenues, this is where we were pretty conservative in our... Yes, sir.
Contractual expenses, I see that those are increasing. I thought we were hiring a lot of in-house to reduce contractual expenses.
Sorry, so I skipped that. And I apologize, I should have provided more context. So to try to do this, the contractual expenses, if you open up your budget, anything that starts with 5-4, so contractual expenses are basically all of your non-personnel, non-equipment expenses. So that it would include contracting for services, right. Like for staff, but we are bringing this in-house. But this includes, and the biggest is Medicaid. This includes the $20 million in Medicaid. This includes all of your office supplies, contracted services, trainings and conferences, all of the middle portion of your department's budget. I couldn't find, and I'm not smart enough, there's probably a way it could have been broken down, but there's literally 400 lines or so in that. Sort of break it down into categories was not intuitive.
So, I mean, do we expect a big hike in Medicaid expenses or something like that, which would justify the increase when we're supposed to have a decrease with the contracted services?
Well, so contractual services.
Contractual is operating expenses. That's just.
I get that, but we had subcontractors, which I think falls in under this.
It falls in under this, but it's in terms of the overall $150 million.
Right.
The amount that we spend on contracted services is probably a couple million, maybe. So a very small portion.
It's just a title that they use in budgeting. It's either personnel, equipment, or contractual. Contractual is all the rest of your
operating. Right. I understand that there's a bunch of other stuff, but what he mentioned with the percentage wise, it's a very small percentage, even though we're bringing it in house.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if that was closer to 50%.
No,
the amount.
It's a very, so the contracted services would be a very small portion, maybe a percent or two,
right,
of that. Most of the, if you were to break it down, most of the spend in that is going to be social services. So
right.
$20 million off.
It's going to go up, right, and that's fine. And that makes sense.
Right.
I didn't know if the contracted, the people we were contracting was like 50% of the budget, 10%,
right,
or 1%.
Right.
It makes a big
difference. Other contractual expenses is road repairs.
Yeah.
Salt. Right. All the other stuff.
Yep.
Those are the big dollar items.
Right. It makes sense now that, yep, you know the percentages, but if I don't know the percentages, then I'm looking and saying we're bringing all this stuff in-house, but then it's
right,
not going down.
Right.
Right.
Sure. So, and again, 2%, it's a guess.
Right.
We can, some of those things, salt, I mean, we need to salt the roads, but in bad budget years, can you pave less roads? Yes, you can pull the lever on some of these, less trainings and conferences, less, you know, other things. There's a number of items, but I wouldn't anticipate a significant amount of savings, but you do have a good deal of exposure here, especially if revenue doesn't come with it. So if Medicaid changes, If the state feds, I already said it today, if the state feds do anything with Medicaid,
right,
we've seen significant increases in childcare, any of the CPS, APS things, that could change that number a lot. Just for modeling purposes, we anticipated 2%. Obviously, 2% of $150 million is a lot of money, but we felt we needed to build some risk and exposure and expenses in there. We were very conservative when it came department income. You know, we feel okay about the federal aid and the state aid. And this is where your big budget gaps come, is we projected them being flat, just not knowing. Hopefully, and as you can see, obviously, over the past 3 to 5 years, our total budget number, our total expensive has increased dramatically, but it's corresponded with an increase in aid, whether it be from federal, state, sales tax, other things. You would hope that there are some programs, like, not to pick on Gabe because it's an awesome program, but if the feds ever came in and said that grant goes away, that's $160,000, again, a small portion, we could just not provide the service. There are many programs where that's the case, but the vast majority of these are mandated services that you, under state law, have to provide. So if the feds cut Medicaid, cut any sort of reimbursement, if the state takes action, I highly doubt that the state will cut benefits or reduce their budget. And if they don't, the next logical step that they're going to pass down to is us. So for modeling purposes, we projected it flat. But again, that and your contractual services, because that's where Medicaid and the rest reside, are your biggest risks. If federal funding and state funding keep flowing the way it is, those budget gaps should decrease pretty significantly. But again, You just don't know. Sales tax, we had not the best year last year. Again, we were almost 2% down, but Mitch just sent out a report. You know, we're doing pretty well in sales tax this year. We did anticipate 2% growth. Hopefully it's much more than that, because anything you raise in sales tax, you know, puts less pressure on the property tax side. Use of money, we do expect, or this projects interest rates and interest earnings decreasing. Who knows? But, you know, indications from the feds are, you know, the high, I think, and in talking with Mitch and Stacy, I think, you know, the almost $10 million that we were able to capture in interest earnings, we're not going to see that, that kind of level of activity. And also, we're sitting on some cash, and we'll talk about it in the reserves, but the 8-point wind project, we're sitting on that cash, the ARPA project. So we have that cash and we're earning money on it. We're earning interest on it. That's going to go away because we're going to actually spend that.
Well, also, as to get to the bottom line, also, as you use up more surplus to cover these deficits, you're going to have less money you're earning interest on.
Right.
Yeah.
So the interest should be conservatively estimated.
Right.
Right.
So this is a long way to say that your largest drivers right now, absent any change in federal programming, is salaries. And we're not alone in that. Every municipality is market rating salaries and doing these sort of things. But it does show, you know, we have some difficult budget years ahead. But the good news is you're a healthy organization with healthy reserves. And that, you know, I wanted to provide this just for information for you folks to digest, to discuss leading into, you know, kind of this month, next month, talking about how you manage that fund balance to be able to offset some of these increases. So that's, I guess, the high level. And Mitch, Stacy, anything you guys want to?
Yeah. Our personnel, how much has that grown?
Staffing wise, really most of your staffing increases have been related to EMS. The rest have been kind of shifts, moves. So headcount wise, in terms of number of employees, to Mr. Thu's point, we brought more in house from contracted services.
Right.
But that's in the maybe 20 to 30 people that we've brought in. EMS, you know, you added 18. So between the two of them, you probably added about 50 headcount.
Plus the jail.
Yep.
COs.
Those were budgeted.
The state ones?
Yep.
Oh, they were funded positions.
Yep.
Okay. We're just filling.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jack, you, did you state that your figures in the revenue were somewhat conservative?
Always.
I would say so.
Okay.
I would say so. But again, with the big bright caveat, and I think that's what leads to the conservative nature of, especially what's going on, don't want to belabor it, but one change from the feds in any of your social service programs blows this whole plan apart.
Good enough.
And we're supposed to pick up more income from the jail with the new staffing because we're going to house federal employees.
We should be able to house federal inmates again with being at full staff. That's what the sheriff has indicated, yes.
Yeah. But you're talking $100,000 a year. I mean, it's not a huge revenue source.
Right.
It helps, but it's not huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kelly?
Yes. The two questions. Did you build any revenue in here for billing for EMS? And then also those sales tax numbers, they've continued on our conservative budgeting pattern. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Sales tax, not specifically in the department income, we have projected growth. So some of that would be captured in there. But again, that's on the conservative side. If we are able to capture what we kind of talked about, Ian, where we're at 50 to 75% of operating costs to a billing ratio, then you probably add another $500,000 to that.
Okay. There again, not huge, but perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff? Nothing to do with Jack's thing, but it's got something to do with sales tax. Mitch, the letter you sent us for the towns that don't take it off their property tax, that they're going to get those checks, you know, like they did years ago, you sent that out to us. Are we allowed to tell the towns their amounts, and when will they expect to get those? Okay.
And I shared mine with the town supervisor last week.
All right. We have a meeting tonight, so I just wanted to make sure that was.
Yeah. So this was one of our committee goals, was to look outwards. I agreed with his estimates in the out years. I mean, you can only get so close on this stuff, and then the farther out you get, the more there's chatter, you know. I mean, Hilda knows we used to do a 5-year plan every year according, and then that was called Green Book. And then you did Black Book, which was the budget, which meant your first year of your 5-year plan is really only the only thing that counted. But right. Past that, it's strategic. It's, yeah. Where do you see large variations or swings that you should probably start being concerned about and addressing earlier than when it becomes an emergency? So looking at this model that Jack and Chris and finance built, you can see that the real deficit surplus numbers in the out years is the reason why you have the amount of surplus or reserve that we have. Because when you start eating into $23 million a year in the third year, that takes away your numbers pretty quickly. Did you want to talk about the reserve?
Would you like to? Yeah, we also sent those reserves, and probably should have Stacy and Mitch Scott asked a good question offline. Do you mind talking about that, Stacy, about the caveat on especially the road and ARPA, the 8-point in ARPA?
Yeah, what caused the $10 million growth in 3 years of the H reserve amount account?
So that's specific to the capital project fund. The capital project fund has different sorts of funding streams in it. Some of it is grant funded, and then some of it is funded from your annual budget. Some of it state, it could be federal funding. So there was a $10 million growth over the last 3 years. $8 million of that is from the broadband ARPA project. So we have those funds, and we have not spent them yet. So they are encumbered per the rules of the money, and they will start to be expended over the next 2 years. So that money will be completely expended by the end of that project. The other one is the 8-point wind money that we have. So the energy company that put in the windmills, they gave us $8 million for road repair. In 2024, we spent about half of that in road repair. So we ended 2024 with about $4 million of that remaining as well. And then there are just some other ins and outs that go on each year in the capital fund. You know, we'll expend grant funds and then we'll claim reimbursement. So we have to front some of that money and wait for that money to come back in. And maybe it's recognized in the next fiscal year. So, but those were the two big pieces.
So when you have that money into that account, you know, so the $12 million, like you're saying, that would still be there, the $4 million from the road and the $8 million from the Empire contract with ARPA.
Yep.
So the interest that $12 million is earning, does that go into the general fund or does that stay into that reserve?
No. So the interest goes back to the general fund, and actually we have a fairly sophisticated way of distributing interest across all of the funds, depending on cash balances or due from other funds. So, but it is invested, it is gaining interest.
That answered my question because, like, for instance, we have a contract with Empire that's, like, say, $8.1 million. Well, if it sat there, all of a sudden you would have a balance in there because you're going to pay that contract eventually, but there would be that interest. Right. So that's where I was.
No, the interest goes back to the general fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I guess another question I would have is, so the 8-point win money, if we spent half of what we received, and we expected that was a very good deal when we agreed to the $8 mm-hmm. million. How long does that sit in the capital project until we sweep it?
That is up to you. And that's one of the discussions for the coming months is that is available to be swept.
Okay.
Along with, so I sent a chart to Jack of capital projects that are probably completely finished that have small balances in them that could be cleaned up.
And that's one of the things. Reserve. Yeah, to do what we talked about at admin and the policy changes. We sent around the list of the capital projects. There's many of them. Want to, you know, whittle that down to comply with the reserves and how the state wants to see it. Many of those will keep because they are ongoing. But to Stacy's point, I think you'll see that the reserve, our proposal will be increase the number of reserves to comply with what the comptroller wants to see in general terms, you know, or general categories, titles, mm-hmm. and decrease the number of capital projects. The other thing that I would highlight is, again, with strong sales tax vacancies, if you look at the funds chart, one of the things that is important to note is dialing back, as we have, and you know, Mr. Thu and many others brought it up during the budget process, dialing back the conservatism that we've had inherent in some of these budgets because revenue is doing pretty good. Our unassigned general A fund, general unassigned fund balance, it did increase, but less than $1 million anticipated from 23 to 24, where the year before it increased about $5 million. So, you know, trying to strike that balance of we're healthy, let's not add too much to fund balance. But again, to Scott's point, once you start spending, you know, $10 million a year, it doesn't take that long for that fund balance to tip the other way. So you're trying to find that happy medium.
And on a much smaller scale, I had the same audit done in Campbell because, you know, much smaller, but the state came in and did it. And I had the same thing. I had a fund balance that was way more than what they wanted, you know. So we set up the reserves exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, we made the reserves like much. The one mistake we made was highway shop roof.
Yeah.
And you could only spend it on the roof. But once we had $1 million into a highway shop reserve, and it wasn't just sitting in that general fund that we could do what they haven't given us any problems, you know, because now it's in a highway shop reserve, which could be repairing the highway shop, building a new high.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's the same. I mean, a much larger amount of money with the county, but that's what triggered our audit was the fund balance was, you know, real high.
Same premise. And yeah, it's counterintuitive and a little frustrating that they will ding us for having the amount of unassigned fund balance we had. But if you decreased that number in half and had it all in reserves.
Yeah.
So you have the same amount of cash. It's just,
and your reserves are still drawing interest.
Right.
That was my thing.
And yeah.
I wanted to make sure
sure you're getting the interest, but it's a semantics and it's a control. They view it. And for good reason, they view it for control of you folks have control of this. We can't go in and spend money on something that you haven't authorized. A new board comes, new people get elected, new people come as staff. You know, they use schools a lot, but you're a much bigger board than schools and you have a much bigger staff and that manage these things. So I think your risk is very low, but same premise, same exact premise.
Jack, what about our FEMA money? Where does that show up in there?
So the FEMA money is in the D fund for road. So I met with Andy earlier this week, and we had a whole FEMA discussion. So we have been paid for the flood of 21, and anything that we have not yet expended is in the D fund. Then he requests reimbursements for work done on the flood of 24. So there's two different kinds of monies coming in from FEMA. One is where they take pictures, write a report, and FEMA will front us the money before we've done all of the work. And then the second way is reimbursement. So any money that we've received from FEMA for work not yet completed lives in the fund balance of the road fund.
D fund, yeah. And that's, one, again, between 8 point and that is why you see defund.
Yeah, if
this chart that shows on reserve fund balances, the defund grew, because that was a question I asked, is it grew $5 million over 2 years?
Yeah.
I was under the impression that does that include our landfill reserves, but it doesn't.
No.
It also includes CHIPS.
Yeah, so she said the $5 million growth in defund over 2 years is due to unspent New York State funding. CHIPS, pave our potholes, pave New York in extreme weather of $3.8 million at the end of last year. In addition, due to the flood of 2024, several DPW projects were put on hold and funds were not expended. And then we took a resolution already this year to pull that money into this year and spend it.
Okay.
So that bump should get.
Yeah,
based on spending.
It looks high now, but right. That should level out, yes.
That's why I was wondering if it was...
Yeah, this is, you know, about as high as we anticipated based on what Stacy has explained. I mean, it looks like, and it's unfortunate timing with the comptroller because it's a lot of cash, obviously, yeah. But we have the same conversations with the comptroller. Well, mm-hmm. We have these expenses, so you would see a much different picture once we spend right. down the ARPA project, once right. we spend down the CHIPS, once, you know, you're talking $10 million to come off of this.
Yeah. And one thing that Mitch and I have talked to the comptrollers a couple of times about is that there is very little money that sits in your capital project fund that is not being used. So there's a couple of projects that have finished. They have very small balances that could be cleaned up. But the majority of the money that sits in the H project is active money. Mm-hmm. There is activity on it. It just, you know, to qualify as a capital project, it's usually long-term over the span of a number of years. And it's high dollar because it produces some sort of capital improvement. But there isn't funds that sit in there with no real purpose.
Yeah. And that's where the nuance and the semantics between fund and capital project go. And they want it very time delineated where, you know, some of these capital projects, like Stacy says, there's a lot of activity, but that capital project was established 10 years ago. Well, no, they want that in a reserve. So.
Well, it's like rebuilding the courthouse of the courts.
Yep.
That wasn't a 1 year project.
No, no.
Any other questions on these? I think this is very informative. Yeah. It gives us a forecast.
Helps.
And I think not to keep making work for you guys, but I think each year we just update this for the next third year out.
I like it.
Yep. And make any changes to our assumptions.
Yep. Yeah.
And that would help.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
We talked about insurance last month.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something moving forward that we're going to look at in the future on do we do self-funded?
Yes. So, and Chris and I have talked to Mr. Sprague about that. Scott Brandy, who's our broker for our general liability insurance and property casualty, was down 2 weeks ago. We talked to him. They're actively talking to, Nimer and others, and they're going to put together, summertime is kind of their estimate of putting together, here are your options.
Okay.
And Scott Brandy, as our broker, is working with Scott Sprague to put his arms around what options are out there, like a Nimer or like something else other than just a straight carrier, or what does it look like to bring it in. So I would say that's probably an August, September discussion. Before budget?
But before budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Any other... Oh, one? Okay. Any other thing for finance? Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? One question I meant to ask in admin. Can we...